Speed Talk on 1360 on KRWC. Tim Sebo said that intro music there, that one right there, was a little too long.
Ah,
he said
okay.
He likes all of our music, but that one with the rap is a little bit too long.
That's the only kind of music like that we play. Well, what the heck? You know when we do something.
He's
like
about
that.
The biggest race fan you're ever going to find at Elko Speedway. He is so entertaining. He's so much fun, and he keeps all those stats for us. He even writes down who we pick each and every week.
And which is good, because sometimes we forget to write them down.
I have to text him or call him. Tim, what did I pick? I forgot.
Yeah, I'll tell you. That's always good that somebody keeps track of things here, because we always try to, but sometimes we don't.
Well, you had a big weekend at Iowa Speedway last weekend, and we talked to you on the phone, and you did all those interviews with the guys from the truck series,
yes,
which was really fun.
Oh, it was awesome. Those truck guys are just fun to talk with.
And then on Saturday night, the rain was coming in. We were worried about whether you get actually the race in, but they raced the Indy cars and it went really well.
Yeah, in fact, the skies were looking kind of threatening. There was a tornado watch issued for the area, and we're going, oh boy, here we go. And then they said, we're moving the race start time up 20 minutes. And we're like, oh, okay, well, they want to get on it. Well, it's a good thing they moved the start up 20 minutes, because about 20 minutes into the race, which would have been a normal starting time, it did rain. And there was a 26-minute rain delay, mostly for about a 10-minute shower. And then after that, it was just track drying and stuff like that. It's funny, they had the Air Titans there on Friday when the NASCAR guys were there, but I didn't see any Air Titans around on Saturday.
Well, that's NASCAR.
But it is a NASCAR-owned track, though.
Well, that is true, but yeah, it wasn't a NASCAR event. It was
right,
IndyCar
so the Air
event.
Titans were not available, but they got the track dried off, and it was really a great race.
They bring in those big screens, those big replay screens for the Indy cars.
Yes.
Did they use them for the trucks?
Yes, they did use those
for
the
trucks.
Oh, yes, they did. So it was kind of nice to have, and it's a neat thing, because you're used to seeing all these replay screens, and normally Iowa Speedway doesn't have one, and for most of the races they don't, but when the Indy cars come in, they bring in the great big screens, which is always kind of fun to watch what's going on.
If I had any criticism at all, and I have very, very few about Iowa Speedway, it's they don't have a replay screen.
Yes, because that's very important. It's really cool, especially when you're in
something.
If you're in the infield, too. If you can see the screen, that's great, because you can't see all the way around the track. When you're up in the grandstands, you can see around the track. And I'll tell you, there was a lot of action going on around the track. It was a 250-lap race originally. Fans said they wanted more. Iowa Speedway listened and said, hey, okay, let's move it up. And they made it a 300-lap race. And I'll tell you, if it would have been 250, I would be talking about a great win for Tony Kanaan, who dominated the race and had an absolutely phenomenal night. And he did have an absolutely phenomenal night, except for there was a late caution that came out. And everybody stayed out. All the top cars stayed out. Some of the cars back in the pack went in for tires, brand new tires.
With how many laps to go?
With 9 laps to go when they went green. So you got 9 laps to go, 7/8-mile track. It's very tight. It's hard to pass at times, too. But Ryan Hunter Ray was the guy who went in there. He restarted 10th with 9 laps to go, and he drove to the front. I mean, drove to the front, took off, and won the race. Absolutely incredible finish for Ryan Hunter Ray.
Didn't you say he passed 6 cars in the first lap?
Yes, that's what he said. He passed 6 cars in the first lap. Absolutely incredible. In fact, afterwards, him and second place runner Joseph Newengarten, who also went and pitted, both said it was like a video game, literally. And there's the only way to describe it was like a video game. It was so easy to pass. They said they never expected it. They said the biggest gamble coming in was time, with 9 laps remaining in the race, you know, and you're starting 10th. It's not, you know, do the math. It's not real easy to pick up spots in an Indy car when you're turning 17-second laps. In fact, looking at some stats from the race here, the fastest lap of the race was Joseph Newengarten with 2 laps remaining in the race. You never see that, of 17.8771 seconds. I mean, that's 5 seconds faster than the trucks are turning. 5 seconds on a racetrack. That's insanely fast.
It is.
Absolutely.
I was really happy for him, because a low-buck team, Sarah Fisher Racing, and for them to get a second-place finish is a really, really big deal. Ryan Hunter Ray won it. Remember, he won last year as well.
Yeah, 2 years ago when we were there.
Oh, 2 years ago.
Because we weren't there last year.
That's right.
Hinch won it last year. James Hinchcliffe won it last year.
That's right. Now, remember when Ryan Hunter Ray won, it was a rain-delayed race, so it was after midnight when they got into the media center?
Yes.
And his wife wouldn't let him do an interview with us, because they said they had to go, because they had to get to the hotel, because they had to wake up early for their flight in the morning.
That's right. I almost forgot about that. I almost forgot about that one. I'll tell you.
How about this time? A little bit happier in victory.
Oh, he was just in shock. And he was just literally in shock. Like, wow. And he wholeheartedly admitted, we stole this race.
Yeah.
We stole this race. And he said it came down to really, you know, well, the caution comes out late in the race here. And T-Motor, Michael Andretti, made the call. And he said it was a gutsy call. And he said he made it. He said, well, it's like we're not going to go anywhere. We got to make this call. And we got to go, and we got to go for it. And, boy, did it pay off and stuff like that. You know, and they asked Andretti Autosports has won like the last. Well, they won last year with Hinch, and they won the year before. So that's like at least three straight. I think they may even have another one on that. Why is Andretti Autosports winning at Iowa Speedway? Because remember, Penske runs well, and they always are up in the front. The Chip Ganassi target teams dominated with Tony Kanaan and haven't won yet this year. But Andretti Autosports comes in and steals it. Ask Michael Andretti after the race, what is it? And he says, do you know what he said? You have a guess?
No idea.
It's the power of the corn. That's what he said.
Cheesy. What happened to Elio? You talked to him pre-race.
Elio, you know, he wasn't too upset with the finish because of the tire situation late in the race. He ended up finishing eighth. He was okay with that, though. He was up in the top two, three spots virtually all night as well, too. So good run for him. Let's run down the rest of the things here. We talked about Ryan Hunter Ray winning. Joseph Newengarden second. Tony Kanaan dominated the race, finishing in the third.
He must have been just devastated.
He was, and he was just shaking his head going, we did everything we could. I know he was asked, you know, do you pit? And he goes, well, when you're leading the race with 10 laps
it's
to go,
really
you really can't pit. No. You have to stay out. You know, it's just one of those situations where you're like, you have to stay on the track. You know, because if he would have pitted, yeah, he would have been fast, but if someone else would have stayed out or if that caution would have been longer, you don't know. So it was very disappointing for him. His teammate Scott Dixon also in search of a win. It's funny that those Ganassi team has yet to get a win, and virtually it was theirs. He finished. Dixon finished in the fourth spot. Ed Carpenter finished in fifth. That's a neat story with Ed Carpenter too. I always like to kind of follow him. He owns his own team. He's sponsored by Fuzzy's Vodka, which is Fuzzy mm-hmm. Zeller, who comes out to the racetrack. I think he was in Iowa too, but I didn't see him. Though I wouldn't recognize him if I saw him.
The former golfer.
Yes, he only runs on the oval tracks.
Ed Carpenter does.
And for his own team, like I said, last couple years, he had ran all the races, and he doesn't do very well on the road courses, so he puts Mike Conway in the car. He has a win on the road course already. So it's an interesting strategy. When you're on your own team, you want to be in the car a lot, but it's nice to see a driver admit, I don't do very well, and I need to put somebody else that can give me a shot to win in. So it's pretty cool to see a driver like that.
Other big names, Will Power. 14th. What happened to him?
Yeah, you know, Will Power, I don't know.
He's not great on the ovals.
No, he never claimed to be, and he's had some good finishes on ovals as of recent, but he's never been, and in fact, he's had great championship seasons where he doesn't do very well on that, but he excels on the road courses.
Dominates,
and that's, he just, you know, absolutely strong. He's still going out after that little issue with him, you know, a couple weeks ago, the on-track incident that he had there with his teammate. So it was kind of interesting to see what was going to happen. He was very low-key, very hard to see, kind of kept to himself over the weekend and did not see much of Will Power around and didn't see much of him on the racetrack either.
And then Juan Pablo, you interviewed him pre-race, and he finished 16th.
Yeah, he had an incident late in the race there, too. He got tagged up and had some other problems in the pits, too. Car was not handling right. They frantically went in the pits, and they tried to make some changes and stuff, but things did not go well for him. And another driver who finished last was Takuma Sato, who drives for A.J. Foyt. And I would just happen to be by the media center right when they caught up with A.J. Foyt after that crash. And he had some not-so-kind words to say. Though that's typical of A.J. Foyt. He's not, you know, especially when things go bad, he won't hold anything back. And, you know, when he was a driver or a team owner. But there's a driver that's very prominent, you know, with the name and stuff like that. But you don't hear about A.J. Foyt's race team winning too many races, do you?
No. And with his ABC sponsorship there.
Yes.
And they race this weekend at Toronto, twin races, today and tomorrow at 2 p.m. NBC Sports Network, if you want to follow the IndyCars.
Check it out. That's where they moved over to this part of the season. And like Jordan had mentioned previously, it's hard to follow the IndyCars because it's hard to know exactly what station, what channel to tune into to find them. But I believe the bulk of the races now are going to be on NBC Sports Network, so it'll be easier to find that. And they do a great job there. It's a very good program there to watch, too. And they have some of them on the radio, though. That, you know, we talk about listening to NASCAR races on the radio. IndyCar races on the radio are much harder to find. I don't know of anything in the Midwest, in this 3-4 state area, that actually carries IndyCar racing on the radio, which is a shame because it is some absolutely incredible racing especially since the finish last weekend.
Well, its ratings are bad. That's the thing. One other thing we should talk about is the Mud Summer Classic, which is the truck series at Eldora. That's coming up on Wednesday. And remember, last year it was a huge event, and everyone talked about it for a long time. This year it hasn't gotten nearly as much hype, but it'll be Wednesday night, Fox Sports 1, 8 p.m. is when it starts. Last year there were some kind of bigger names that went into it. We've got the Dillons. We got Austin Dillon and Ty Dillon. They're going to be racing it again. Michael Annette, who's racing, he's from Iowa. He's been racing full-time in Cup for Tommy Baldwin, I believe. He'll be in it. And Ken Schrader is going to be in it.
Never count him out.
The ARCA race down at Iowa Speedway. And plus all the regular Truck Series guys. So if you're looking forward to some dirt track racing, NASCAR dirt track racing, your only race of the year will be Wednesday night on Fox Sports 1.
And I'm curious to see what the track is like, because they said they made some positive improvements, and the truck should handle a lot better instead of being kind of a one groove up near the top kind of racing that we saw last year.
It was so dry slick last year. It wasn't even like a dirt track race. That's the thing. It's like you're telling a monster truck to put on a good show on a basketball court is kind of what it feels like to me, because these trucks are so big and heavy and they have so much power they can't hook it up. You have to have it dry slick because you can't have the big ruts in this track. And so it was one groove last year, but I think they're trying really hard to get a bottom groove and a top groove for this upcoming year. So anyway, that's something to watch as well. We're going to talk local racing, bring in Dan Plan from the Midwest Racing Connection up next. Plus, we're going to hear from Conrad Jorgensen and Chad Wallen, too. Stick with us at Speed Talk on 1360 here on KRWC.